Save a little more this month. Chime checking accounts have features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. The coronavirus, along with sliding oil prices, have taken a toll on the state budget. KRMG's Russell Mills talked with State Senator Dave Rader about how legislators are going to respond.
I have to ask, you know, how things are going in your life, because for all of us, it's just so weird right now.
It definitely is weird, isn't it? And it's, as far as the professional life's concerned, it is weird because we, you know, we should be meeting right now and considering bills from the House on the Senate side and considering Senate bills on the House side. And still continue to work on the budget. So the budget work has continued on, Russell. It's just been mostly through a virtual method. So, but there's been so many changes in our revenue for the state that it's caused quite a few meetings to occur.
Yeah, changes in the wrong direction, unfortunately, and that's because along with this whole coronavirus thingy, we've got a really nasty, or had a really nasty price war going on between the Saudis and the Russians, and that has hurt the oil industry badly, hasn't it?
Hurt us tremendously bad. And, you know, our energy industry, especially here in Oklahoma, the folks involved are so resilient, and they find ways. But, you know, it hadn't been that long ago that they were hit hard with a similar type of depleted price. And now we're right back at it. So about the time they were coming back, then they hit again. So we really did not need this at this time.
And then we saw the governor wanted to go ahead and declare a revenue failure, and I think that happened. I'm not sure. There was like some sort of dust up late last week between him and some, and I think they were primarily Republicans in the House. I'm a little unclear because, honestly, Senator, I'm not following, you know, what's going on in Oklahoma City as closely as I normally would, but what do you know about what's going on there?
Well, it's a clarification that needs to be made between the negotiation going on with the budget. The governor is seeing one way to close the budget negotiations, and legislature seeing another way, and so those negotiation talks are going to have to continue so we can close this out and make sure that the year ends covering our budget on the whole. You know, the legislature is very, very adamant, you know, about trying to end the year as we can with the obligations that we made in the 2020 budget, especially education. We want to make sure that there are no cuts coming there to do that. And I think that I can't speak for the governor because I really don't know exactly what all their positions are, but I don't think they're really much different than what I'm saying here. I think we're deciding on which road to take to get there. But, you know, we can't go through what we've been through to have the monies available for us in the rainy day fund and then have this rainy day hit us, especially here when we're asking our public schools, you know, to develop distance learning and our students to go through quite a bit, that now we're going to say, oh, by the way, we have $20 oil and we have a pandemic and we're going to have to cut you. And we're saying, no, we can meet the obligations for this year. And then, you know, maybe some of the COVID relief money would come back to our schools to help out later on the year when the federal payments come in. But we really don't know what those rules are yet, so you can't count on them. Now, I know there's a lot of that's quite a maze that I'm talking about right there, but those are all the things that we're considering here.
And add to that sort of stew the digital transformation cuts that are being proposed. I think the governor wants to keep those in no matter what. I think his cabinet wants to do that.
And that's why I read it as well. I think the disagreement comes maybe that in looking out for the budgets and the taxpayers' money the money seems to be in the available right now, and with the way things are. And so that's really the crux of the discussion here is, you know, do we need, how far back do we need to fill? Are we ready to go now straight ahead? And so those negotiations are going to continue on. And, you know, as the legislature is really working hard to make sure our tax dollars go where they're supposed to go. Not to say that the governor's not. So I don't. When you speak like this, you know, Russell, people say, "Well, you're doing this. That means they're not doing that." And that's not what I'm saying. Is we have a disagreement here, and we've got to work it out. And we, you know, I just know on the legislator sides that we want to end the year whole, as we started with you know, a quarter of the year, the fiscal year left to go.
And you're talking about fiscal year 2020, which ends at the end of June
30th. Yeah, and so what you say, we're, you know, we're coming down to the end of the school year, so we don't want to take any money away from SDE. We don't want to do that. And at the same time, you know, our man, we're asking so much of all of our health agencies right now, and we don't really want to cut them either. So we have the money. This is why we made the hard vote 2 years ago. So that we could replenish that rainy day fund. And so, man, it's raining right now. It's not, I don't think there's ever been a year like this ever in the history of the state of Oklahoma, maybe none of the states, but for sure in the history of Oklahoma, have a pandemic and $20 oil, and we count so much on crude oil pricing for our budget. So that constitutes, in my opinion, a rainy day, and that's what we're looking at.
All right. Well, meanwhile, how are you doing the business of government during a pandemic? How,
well,
like, physically?
Right now, we're on pause. We have until Memorial Day to complete the session. So I think we're like any other, right now, we're just like any other citizen, is that, you know, when will things open back up, and when will they open back up enough that we can meet and do what we've been elected to do, and that is consider legislation and work for the people. So, you know, we still could have the whole month of May if things lighten up, you know, April 30th, like what's kind of being hinted towards. And then we would have time to finish strongly this legislative year. Now, not all the bills are going to be heard, but, you know, that may not be a bad thing that all the bills are heard, and we can run them again next year.
Right. I mean, there's a few out there about, I don't know, there's always one about naming an asteroid or something crazy. I'm not saying that's pending right. This session, but there's always a couple of those out there that are like, yeah, we could table that.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. And that's what, you know, the floor leaders are in either chamber right now are looking at, which bills do we, you know, they're all important. You know, all the bills are important, or they wouldn't be there. You know, whether they, you know, they come from the legislator themselves or comes from the constituency. You know, they're all important, but, you know, now we have to decide what's really, really important because we're limited in time. And if some of them are time sensitive, even let's get them up there. Some of them can come back next year, then let's bring them back next year where we can really vet them out. So I'm really confident of the floor leaders' work. Senator David, you know, out of Porter, out of Wagner, there is doing a great job with that. And so we'll see what comes out of it. But, you know, I think we'll have time to do this. But the main thing is, you know, we have to – we're going to have to end with a strong budget to help our state serve the needs of the people of our state.
And it has to be a balanced budget by constitutional mandate. So
exactly.
State Senator Dave Rader. You're listening to Oklahoma Perspective. COVID-19 has been another excuse for bad actors to take advantage of people, especially seniors. KRMG's Russell Mills spoke with the state director of the AARP, Sean Voskel, about the many scams popping up and what you can do to protect yourself.
We're talking today, obviously, because of concerns for our older citizens. And during this pandemic, and we know this in Oklahoma, we know this, as sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, anytime there's a disaster, the scam artists and the thieves are right there to try to pick up easy money from vulnerable people. And unfortunately, there's no exception here, and our older folks are a target. So what are you telling folks?
Well, you're exactly right, Russell. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it's it's scam artists. They don't discriminate on your age, but we do know that our older residents are definitely targets for a lot of scams and frauds that are out there. And if you think about it, this is the perfect storm, so to speak, for scammers to take advantage of people. There's a lot of high anxiety around the coronavirus. There's some kind of misinformation and a lot of conflicting reports about the stimulus check payments and unemployment. You know, there's just a lot of anxiety. And think about it, too. The census is going to be out there as well. People are signing up online for that. And then there's a little confusion about when you file for your taxes. Now there's been some extensions. So, you know, when you think about the perfect storm of all these factors, it sure is a great time for scammers to take advantage of people. The scammers actually call that getting their potential victims under the ether. So, you know, using high anxiety, pandemics, disasters, you know, is just a recipe for disaster for folks to be victims of scams.
Right. I mean, when they don't have one, they make one up. Oh, your grandson's in jail and he can't get out of jail, right? So they're always trying to get you to that emotional state where you're worried, you're scared, and you're not thinking with your head. You're reacting from the responses, you know, in your gut, your fear and whatever. So what are you hearing from members? What are they reporting back? What kind of scams are they telling you about so far?
There's a lot of different areas, and we talk a lot about the imposter scams. So, you know, individuals who post to be with the IRS or, for instance, you know, you need to provide your banking information to get your check, get your $1,200. Those are things that we hear. We hear about a fake test for the coronavirus being out there. I haven't heard about a case in Oklahoma yet, but these COVID-19 testing drive-through scams where people are encouraging people to drive through, they swab your mouth, I need $250, $240. Well, if you don't have that, getting your Medicare, your Social Security number. And so, obviously, those are the type of scams we hear about. I mean, we hear about all these, you know, the antidote now to cure COVID-19. Just click on this website. I can provide you that information or invest in this new potential remedy for those scams. For the COVID-19 and, you know, give us your financial information. So there's lots of different ones that are out there. And, you know, we really tell people if we can provide education and alert people to the types of scams that are out there, that if you can spot a scam, you can help someone stop a scam. So that's real important in our outreach efforts to alert folks that there are a lot of scams out there about products that will cure the COVID-19 or people that are asking for donations. Can you donate to help us to make sure that we help victims of COVID-19? You've got to be real careful about that because they'll pull on your heartstrings, and Oklahomans are giving, but we got to make sure that those are legit charities as well.
I actually spoke with Kathy Stokes. Do you know her?
Oh, yeah. A longtime DA from Garfield County.
Yep. And she is the, I think she's the head of the AARP's Fraud Prevention Program.
Stokes. Yeah. I know two different Kathys.
Oh, do you? Okay. So the one I talked to, I don't know if she ever lived in Oklahoma, but she was awesome. And we were talking at the time. This is all the way back on February 19th, in the old days, a couple months ago. We're in a different world. But we were talking about the census specifically, and she was saying, you know, the important thing that people really need to understand is the government does not call you.
Yes,
period. Correct. Full stop. The IRS, the Treasury Department, Social Security, the local police department, they don't call.
Correct. Correct. And think about it. And that's what's so confusing right now regarding the $1,200 stimulus checks. You know, there's confusion around, do I have to file a return or I don't? And the answer is you don't. And you will get that direct deposit to you or mailed to you by check. So that's what's really concerning is someone may pretend I'm from Social Security. I need to send me your, you know, your banking information, your routing, so we can deposit this check for you. So, I mean, that's a perfect recipe to take advantage of people.
It is. And the other one I worry about is, oh, we can we can make sure you get that check. We'll make sure that the IRS has all your banking information. Just give it to us and we'll pass it along. And, oh, that'll only cost you $150. So now they're getting you twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you for bringing that up. It's that's another scam. You're exactly right. Someone that charged you a fee to help you get that money. And yeah, that's a big scam as well.
It's just sad. So have we already had people that are victims that you're aware of, or is this more of a hopefully preemptive measure? Because I know I'm hearing some anecdotal stuff that the scams are out there right now.
Oh, definitely they are. All of them we mentioned, we've been reports of it. We know the home testing scams. The Attorney General has reported on that as well. We're also the COVID-19 drive-through scams. Now, I haven't heard a report in Oklahoma yet, but it's been reported in six other states across the country. I also saw, I believe the FBI reported the idea around money mules. They're hearing reports of those as well, where, you know, someone's conned in to help, you know, help deposit this money for me because I need to help the person in the United States who has COVID-19. And, you know, you cash a check for them, and then unfortunately, you know, they've got your banking information. And so the money mule issue, we're learning more about, and we hear that a lot from folks in the banking industry as well as the FBI. But, home testing scams are a real concern. You get rich, and especially these imposter scams where the people are pretending to be someone from the IRS or Social Security office.
All right, one more sort of tangential topic to all this. Doesn't really do with scams, but I spoke with the director of Life Senior Services here in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And one of her concerns was the digital gap for some of our older folks who never got comfortable with or can't afford or both modern, you know, internet technology. They don't have Wi-Fi. They may not have laptops and smartphones and some of that stuff. And they're missing out on a lot because they can't access it. And I'm talking about sometimes important stuff like being able to order groceries and have them delivered remotely. They don't know how to do that. So does the AARP have any kind of program? Do they have anything going to try to help educate folks who want to learn that stuff or try to get some of this technology into the hands of folks who may not have it? Old laptops, refurbished smartphones, something like that.
Correct. You know, I think that's you know, a struggle for a lot of us to making sure, you know, not everyone has an email. How do we stay in contact with them? So AARP has a program called AARP Community Connections, and it's sort of a large phone tree for people to call. And most of those folks have a landline. And so that resource is helping people connect with their local resources. We urge people to call 211 if they need help getting groceries in their local communities or area-wide aging agencies. And, of course, Tulsa Life Senior Services is an excellent resource. Every week, we're holding a national telephone town hall as well, providing resources so people can use their phone to learn about updates to coronaviruses, the frauds and scams that are out there. And we also provide a helpline for people if they think they've been a victim, or if they want to report a scam, we have a helpline, a phone number that's available to not only AARP members, to anyone to help report scams and frauds.
Oh, and what is that line? Do you know?
Yes, AARP's Fraud Watch Network line is 877-908-3360. 877-908-3360.
State Director of the AARP, Sean Voskal. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Spring is in full bloom. Are your finances? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa Credit Card, you can build credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees or interest. With Chime Secured Credit Card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at chime.com/build. That's chime.com/build. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.